1 Corinthians 12:15-21. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Mm-hmm. So what they're talking about there, it's just like that. Everybody played that game Operation?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
what that's like. What it's talking about is how everybody has a part to give. And I think one of the hardest things in life is we give our part to something, whether it's our job, our family, our friends, and it feels like we're playing that game Operation, and we put our part out there, and then somebody says, let me fix that for you. And they stick the tweezers in the thing, and they try to pick the bone out, and the buzzer goes off. To me, that's what volunteerism is. It's like, I'm putting my little part out there. Dang it, if you hurt me, we're done. So, but that is. But you know what, though? The body's not the body without all the parts.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
The good parts, the seen parts, the unseen parts.
Amen. That's good.
The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable.
Yeah.
And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other.
Yes.
If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are no super special secret parts of the body. And you know, if there's any doubt about that, try doing something that you hate doing long enough. And you'll be so glad when somebody else does what they're supposed to be doing and that are better at it. So everybody has something they're good at.
Yeah.
You know? And with that, there's also things that we're not very good at.
Yeah.
And so it's really good when we have something we're not that good at, and then somebody else is good at it, and you see them be good at it.
Yeah.
Yay, you go do what you're good at. We did the luncheon this last week. I called Nancy in a pinch. She's literally on the road from Oregon. And I'm like, Nancy, we're having this lunch. And, you know, I this is not my thing. And Nancy's like, I'm coming to the rescue. She didn't say that, but that's what I heard. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Nancy's coming to the rescue, whether she knows it or not.
Amen.
And she actually did those little centerpieces. And I'm sorry to brag on you, because I know she really didn't want me to say that, but like, if it wouldn't have been for her, we wouldn't have had a nice day that day. And,
yeah, that's right. Amen.
If you'd have left it up to me, there would have been like nothing. I would have been like, deal with it. But thanks to her, she
all
like...
All three of us worked together.
Yes, there was many hands in the kitchen that day. It was good. So we all have that. So here's the game of Operation.
Yeah. Amen.
So I've been thinking about this. You know, when we volunteer for things, why do people want to serve, and what are some of the reasons why they don't serve? You know, I think one of the obvious things is I don't have time. So we're just going to go ahead and pull that one off the table, because we all have time to do what we want to do.
Yes.
And when it's something you love, you'll make time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Let's, you know, just if you imagine any time, you know, you got a cat sitting on the table, uh-huh. and you put something in front of the cat, what does the cat do with it? He knocks it off the table. So no matter what it is, cat's got knocked off the table. So we're just knocking that one off the table, because everybody has time. So that's one of the reasons. But I think that this right here is a pretty good illustration of one of the reasons why we don't like to get involved in things. It's because it's hard.
Yeah.
Because when you plug in to anything, you're going to have to deal with people doing things in a way that you don't like to see them done. Because they're not going to do it how you want it done.
Right.
Yep.
Or they're going to do it how they want to do it, and you're going to be helping. And some reason or another, it's not going to meet your expectation of what perfection is supposed to be. Mm. Or you're going to say, well, I volunteered for this, and that ditz can't get the schedule right and get it together for me. So all of a sudden, things didn't go the way they needed to go. And so it is a little bit of a chore to be willing to kind of put ourselves out there. Yeah. So I think about when you lead something. So when you serve, you know, there's reasons why we don't want to serve, but then there's also reasons why we don't want to lead. And the other reason for me why people don't want to lead is because they're like the guy on the table, and then but they have all the other people that are wanting to tell them how to lead.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. See, have you ever felt that way?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you how to do that. Yeah. What's really hard is when you're really good at your job, and then you have to step aside and watch somebody come in who's not very good at your job and help them learn how to do your job. How many of you guys have ever had that happen at work?
Yeah.
Where you train someone and you're like, man, I remember, I'm just going to tell a story because it was such a pivotal moment in my life. I'm working at the restaurant. Young kid comes in. I was always 10 to 12 years older than everybody that I worked with. That's humbling enough, but I can deal with that part. Guy comes in, he's 22, 24, some in the 20s. We're cutting vegetables for the salads. And he's just cutting away at that cucumber, and he doesn't realize it's not a cucumber, it's a zucchini.
Oh, no.
And he doesn't care. It's all green. Throw it in. There's a huge difference between that's not a cucumber, dude. So I just remember thinking, oh my goodness, who am I working with? You wait till I close the store tonight, you're going to do extra work. And 6 months later, lo and behold, he became the manager.
Wow.
So he was the one running my shifts and telling me what to do. So, and we never became friends. It's so sad to say, he never liked me. My personality grimed at the guy to no end. And I just remember thinking, you know, God, you're in this. I know you're in this for me somewhere. There's something for me to learn. And the guy had a good bit of wisdom. I remember one day he walked up to me and he said, Cheryl, you know how you always talk about you're trying to, you know, listen more and you know, you're trying to learn from other people. I'm like, yeah. He said, well, you know, you really need to take your own advice right now. And I'm like, yeah. Thanks. You know, but you know what? Like, who's going to tell us hard things never come fun?
That's true.
That's right.
They don't. You know, and church is no different. Ministry is no different. Any volunteer work is no different.
That's right.
I was thinking about, with leadership, one of the goals that Dana and I have, this is our biggest, I can't say we're the greatest at it, is we really believe that we're family.
Yeah.
And what do you want for your family?
Yeah.
You want them to be a success.
That's right.
If you have a kid, you want that kid to go to be bigger, stronger, faster, better, and go further than you did.
Yes. Yep, that's right.
You want your gal friends, you want your guy friends, you want your aunt, your uncle to find success because you know that their path is not going to shove you out of the family. Their path and their blossoming and blooming and striving and achieving is not going to hurt you. But it's going to make you feel so good because you love them and you want them to be
That's
successful.
Right. That's good.
And for us, that's what church is, a sense of family and a sense of seeing people get in their lane and be empowered. So when you kind of take that and put it into a church setting and think about the body of Christ that God has given each of us spiritual gifts and spiritual things to do, not just on our job at work and in our communities, but even in the body here. And so when we have people who are wanting to lead, like the day Becky came up, like right after when she first started coming, she said, yeah, I want to lead Bible study. And I'm like, all right. You know, I'm like, what can we do to help you find success here?
Yeah.
And, you know, and she ran. You know, she did her thing. I'm sure it wasn't perfect, but, I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's right.
And seeing Rex, I mean, nose to the grind.
Yeah.
You know, trying to do his thing. And got a prayer ministry starting up with Catherine and Paul.
Yes.
You know, when you see people get in their lane, sometimes it's messy, but it's beautiful.
Yes.
That's right.
And so that's one of our things for us, is to see people empowered to do the things that God is giving them to do, to see pathways where people can do those things. Mm-hmm. Having said that, we one of the things that we do is we have teamwork workshops that we've done. I call them leadership and teamwork workshops. I don't know how to put it in. Basically, how do we do the things that God has called us to do? Because we don't do things alone. We do them with other people. Yeah. And how do we do that better?
Yeah.
So, diversity. The more diverse a group of people can be, the more value you get out of that group.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you have all this diversity in a group, it can feel like this up here. Because everybody's bringing their perspective and wanting to work on something and make it better. So you you got that icky feeling. So let me give you an example of diversity. Okay? So diversity can mean that you've got an 80-year-old with a 20-year-old, with a 6-year-old, with a 30-year-old. That's one set of diversity. Diversity could also mean that you have an Asian and an African-American, a Mexican and a white person. Diversity can mean you've got a Korean person who barely speaks English, and you've got a New Yorker who is got a whole different cultural mindset, and you've got someone who's Southern who has a different cultural mindset. You know, you take a Southerner who's hardcore Southerner with a New Yorker who's hardcore New Yorker, and they'll probably not get along really well until they learn how to communicate differently.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. They did a test recently where they took different culture people and told them to draw a picture of a woman in a room. A woman in a chair in a room. So the American person drew a picture of a woman in a chair. And the picture was just as the top of the picture was her head, the sides, the front. An Asian person, every Asian person, they took the woman in the chair, they drew the picture, and you saw the whole room and there was a window. And it was every Western culture person, just they said draw a picture of a woman in a room in a chair. They drew a woman sitting in a chair. That's all you saw was a woman sitting in the chair. But every Asian person, they had pictured the whole room. And it's because they view time differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They view things generationally. It's like when you battle some other countries in war. It's like, you know, you're not just battling them, you're battling their grandparents, their son, and the war's going to keep going. It's just going to keep passing. Where in America, we're like, we're just going to get this done in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's an example of diversity. And so when you're involved in groups working with people, diversity is good because of the different perspectives that everybody brings to something.
Yeah.
So I call it taking the temperature in a room. Let's get the temperature. Let's see how everybody views it. And that really affects how we do church.
Yeah.
And how we do life. You know, some people freak out over one thing and another person's like, oh, it's just not a big deal. You know? But that diversity makes you stronger. So I'm going to tell you to close your eyes.
Okay.
Everybody close your eyes. I want you to picture a night sky. Get the picture of the night sky in your head. I'm not asking you to physically draw it. If you told me to draw something, it'd be a stick man. Mm-hmm. But get a picture of a beautiful night sky, what that would look like. When you got that picture, just open your eyes. Beautiful night sky, what that's going to look like. In your picture, how many of you had a picture of a night sky that had the Borealis lights in it? There we go. Got two. How many of you got a picture of like an actual painting, like Rembrandt or... There you go. Got one right here. Two. You actually got a picture. How many of you guys got like Area 51?
Yeah.
How many of you guys had like a Star Trek scene, like the, you know, Star Trek, you know, you actually saw the stars in the sky? Stars in the sky. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like actually saw night sky stars.
Yeah.
So see, we can't see the Borealis unless this person tells us what they see.
Yeah.
And we don't see the physical brush painting unless this person tells us what they see. And so when we can get more perspectives on things, it actually broadens how we look at things. Now, when you're a leader, you have to just lead. And you have to.
Yeah.
But when we have a diverse group of people and we're all doing life together and everybody is able to give what they have and bring in their perspectives, it makes it stronger and better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example of, try not to do too many examples, but I remember when I was, I think, 22 or 23, I did my first yard sale. It was also my last yard sale. but I, for some reason, I thought everything was worth four times what it was worth.
Yeah, right.
I'm like, oh man, that's a $20 dress. I know it is. You know, it was awful. And but I learned something. I learned that I did not know how to do that very well. But have you ever thought about it? Every time you go to do something, every time, does it ever go exactly like you planned?
No.
And what's really wonderful is when you have someone graciously come alongside of you and say, what's wrong with you? What are you doing? Does that make any sense? Come on, have you thought about this? A good friend can do that to you and it won't get you mad.
Right.
Yeah.
But like, oh my gosh, if we do that to each other at church, oh heck no, this person was rude to me, they poked me. Ouch! Ouch! Get that thing out of my tummy! No. But like seriously though, when you're doing something and someone comes along and says, you need to zip your pants, or you can get the food off your chin, you know, it's just like, thank you. Or like recently I was just darned and determined I was going to plan a Christmas party at my work, and someone was graciously enough came up to me and said, Cheryl, you don't want to do that, and here's why. And I'm like, but I, and I had thrown up a stink about it. And someone graciously enough, who was more wise than me, said, here's why you don't want to do that, da 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 da. And I'm like, thank God, that person kept me from really having a lot of headache.
Yeah, right.
And spending money and time that I really didn't need to. So just the beauty. There is so much to be said for doing things in a group, because it makes us better, stronger, faster. And then we get to enjoy each other's growth along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it a beautiful thing when you see people thriving?
Yes.
Like Nancy's probably one of the most humble people that I know, but when I see her serve, it is amazing to me. And it's very much that way when I see you guys doing things that make you tick.
Yeah.
And for us to create pathways for that to happen is a huge thing for us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the things that are going on and some opportunities that we all have as a group to do things and just kind of do a little bit of a coverage of what's just going on in the church. So if Gateway's not your church home, just bear with us. I'm going to talk a little shop. So, okay. So we've got the prayer ministry that just started. Paul and Catherine, if you could just wave your hands. So there's going to be a luction on January the 12th following the church service. And that's for people who are on the prayer ministry team. And if you want to be involved in that, not just the luncheon, but be a part of the prayer ministry team, talk to Catherine and come to that lunch. And she's just going to be telling people, you know, here's what we're doing, and here's what it looks like, here's how to get involved. And you get free lunch. So did I say free lunch?
Yeah.
January 12th, free lunch. Okay. All right. So next thing is life groups. Life, period, together, period.
Amen.
And what life groups are is essentially they're a place for, you know, you can be in church and hear sermons and we get to connect, but the life groups are much more personal, out of the church building, and meet in people's homes. The objectives of a life group is to just to have a place where you can just be friends and hang out, get to know each other a little bit. There's a meal involved, there's some prayer involved. And while there's not like a sermon or a book study type of thing, because we got enough of those. I mean, I know some of you guys probably love book studies, which are great, but like, you know, some people, they just want to get together and visit and do life together. Having said that, there will be like an object lesson. So not necessarily a whole formatted, structured 12-week program. Please buy this book. Oh my gosh, you didn't read your chapter last time. Oh, we don't want to do that to you guys. We don't want to do that to you.
Amen.
But there will be like little short, interactive, real quick opportunities to connect in a godly way.
Amen.
So we're not just getting together and hanging out, because we can do that anywhere, but it's actually a godly meeting.
Amen.
And so
that's
we're going to be starting those on the 26th of January. And we've got some leadership. Mike and Tammy, they're heading this up. They have an incredible gift of coaching and an incredible gift of vision for this. But we need leaders. So if you're interested in leading a group, hosting a group in your home, again, we're not asking you to go prepare sermons, but people who do are happy to open up their home, or even open up their home and allow kids, or open up their home and don't allow kids because you don't want to have to childproof everything. So if you have a home and you have an extra chair, you're a candidate. Did you know that? So if you're interested, connect with Mike. He's going to have a special training, and we're all going to be there. So that's going to be something that we're bringing in with the church. So
Amen.
A couple of new things that are happening there. A little bit of recap. So is everybody with me? Anybody have like a quick question? Throw something out real quick. It's not a Bible study per se. It is a place where people gather for a meal, fellowship, friendship, prayer. And there will be sharing of a scripture from time to time. If you've ever been to our prophetic class, I'm sure there may be a little activity or two where there's a thought of, hey, what does God do for you in this area of your life? Or what does this look like for you? You know, what does evangelism, there may be like a big question and people are given the opportunity to share kind of a pass the mic thing, but nobody really is going to be getting on a 15-minute share their life story soapbox type thing. If you do, we'll tackle you. Now we do like the whole book and Bible study thing. And so people who have a desire to do a Bible study, we believe there's a place for that. This building is here for that. And so, like, if Becky so chooses to do that again, or if anybody else, just let us know. We do want to provide opportunities to do Bible studies. And we have a Bible study here every Tuesday night. Except for this Tuesday night, we're going to be praying in the new year. So here's a recap of what we have kind of, like, where the church is as was, is going. So we're a part of Regions Beyond, and this is just a picture. This is Steve Oliver. He is the senior leader. And then this is some people from our home church. This is our senior pastor in Helena, Montana. He's retired now. His name's Brian. Here's Jason, one of the pastors there. And then this is one of the other leaders in Spokane, I think. And so we are able to connect with them. They offer missions trips. They have, I don't know, probably 100 churches worldwide that they support. And they actually send people out here, and they're a good support to us,
yes.
Along with providing opportunities and training. And so this is Ray Lowe. He's been out here a couple of times. Yep. He's from England. He's been in ministry for 60 years. He's one of these people that has come up to me and Dana regularly and said, "What'd you do that for? Why are you doing that? Why are you doing it that way? Could you please explain to me why you're doing it that way?" And I'm like, "Because it's right." No, it's not right. There's a better way. Let me tell you a better way to do that. And, you know, we're like, thank you. And so this last time he was visiting with us, he was actually able to give us some serious, like, okay, here's what you're doing, and here's how I've seen that play out, and this is what's going to end up happening if you keep. And the thing is like, being a leader in a church, how do you know until you make a mistake that you've made a mistake? You know, everybody thinks they're right until they're wrong. So, again, like, we have this amount of input, and when we do things together as a group, we all get that.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
He is one of the people that has very kindly spoken to our lives, and many of you have spoken to our lives as well. I mean, like, so just so you know, we're definitely into growth through community. This is Rowena Pacina and Jeff Pacina. Jeff is originally from Illinois. He moved to the Philippines in the 80s and took over a ministry. Basically, this ministry got abandoned on him, and he just didn't go home, and he stayed. And now he has built schools, it's not an orphanage, but a place for kids to go. It's a children's home, and they created a school. They have a college. They have micro-businesses there in the Philippines. And so Dan and I have gone there. They actually visited the church year before last, so this is his wife and daughter. They live in Seattle. And so that's another wonderful ministry that you know, we're hoping that we'll get to do a missions trip out there to see them sometime, because they're amazing. And then the first year or two, we had a lot of just lunches at our house, and this was Ray here earlier. And so when we first started, we were meeting at the Second Chance consignment shop. So it was a clothing store. And so there really wasn't a place to do a lunch, so we would end up having lunches at our home. And our home is not very big, so we squished everybody in kind of tight.
Yeah.
We did that several times. And so the church, the spiritual covering part with Regions Beyond and the support has been phenomenal. They are one of the reasons that we're growing, because we've got people giving us input and help, you know, spiritually speaking, and that connection. And then you know, meeting and the whole life group thing kind of started in things like this, places like this, and we want to continue that. Like if we were to go to my house right now, my living room would not hold us all. Yeah. But a life group, we can do that.
Yeah.
And we don't want to lose those intimate moments.
No.
That we get to have with each other. Like that's very valuable as a family.
Yeah.
And we want to keep cultivating that.
Mm-hmm.
So when the church was, you know, when we had 12 people, you know, this is the kind of stuff that we want to keep that going. So the church continued to grow, and here we are last year. I guess this was March or April. Had a whole crew of us, and the consignment shop, it just got smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know. And then we moved over to the Holiday Inn Express, and we met in their meeting rooms through the summer. We got a cute banner. We need to put that banner back up. We started having a prayer, and we had live worship, and continued to grow. We had our leadership and team building event in August. And again, we want to continue to do leadership and team building. I've just got an amazing heart for that.
Yeah.
And the whole reason for doing this is we want to see people doing things that's on their heart and be equipped to interact and lead other people. And these things, they apply to the job site, they apply to ministry,
yeah,
they apply to whatever. But to help us to be able to interact with each other and help each other to grow and to thrive and to do family. I come from a reasonably dysfunctional family situation, and Dana did too. So, to be able to do family well is amazing when you get, you know, when you're and you learn those skill sets, because a lot of us don't always get those skill sets. This year, we've moved into the building here. Most of you guys have been aware of just, you know, like, thank God for you, John. He did the sheetrock in the building. And many of you guys have volunteered. I mean, we probably have, I don't know, a few hundred hours worth of work that you guys have done to get us into this location. There's so much that we can do here.
Yeah.
And that we are doing now. And we're right in that place of being able to do more. And we're getting in that place now where people are coming up to me and saying, why don't you have church programs? Really? For somebody who does that?
Not yet.
I wasn't greeted. Who's the greeter? I'm like, I don't know. You know, hey, can you do this and this and this and this? And I'm like, no, I can't. Sorry. So, but we're at that place to where we're going from family to where, in order to continue to grow as a family, we want to get some of those things done.
Yeah.
So while we've got a ladies' ministry, we've got a prayer ministry, we've got life groups coming, we've got an incredible worship team. So yeah. It's not like you guys aren't working. but there are some other ministries that we need to put some feet on because I'm not able to do it.
Right.
And neither am I.
Yeah, Dana's not either. Dana, you know, his administrative abilities have gone through the roof, but he is severely being stretched because he can't do everything. And we don't want to not have programs.
Right.
So what we want to do is we want to be intentional about giving an opportunity for you guys to lead and serve. So, and we will train you.
Amen.
To lead and to serve and to set you free doing the things that you want to do. So this thing that we're passing out now, these are what I call the unseen, thankless service opportunities that we all get to have while serving in the body of Christ. These are the kind of things that, you know, we won't be able to pat you on the back because nobody's really going to see you doing it. They just see it when it's not done. We had a problem with the coffee this morning. I don't know what happened to that coffee. All I know is Dana did it and something didn't go well. Sorry, I didn't mention it to him. I don't want to bother him, but I have like three different things to say to me. Like,
you know,
I don't know what's going on with
coffee. No. I was trying. I had two big percolators on one circuit and the circuit said no. Too much coffee.
So, again, these are things that, you know, they've just kind of like not been a need, but they're turning into a need. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take this home and pray for the next week. And you can do more than one of them if you want. And next week we're going to have sign-up sheets back here that says, I will lead, I will serve, I will do both. Because That's what we need. And so we're going to have several sign-up sheets. And some of these things, they're pretty, you know, self-explanatory. Some of you guys are all over Facebook. Running our Facebook page would not be a big deal for you. Some of you guys like working with websites. Our website is it's what I call the low-maintenance website. We try to set, you know, how many of you guys do your landscaping? And you have your landscaping set up to where you just trim your hedges once a year and cut the grass and it's good, right? How many of you guys have the landscaping to where you are literally out there every day pulling weeds, cutting bushes? You know, you're like totally having to replant every 3 months to make sure it's beautiful. Ours is not, our website's not like that. Our website is like it's about as basic as it can get, and it's pretty easy to use. I mean, as far as website goes, you don't have to be a tech person to do it. You just have to not mind watching instructional videos from YouTube and clicking buttons. So anyway, most of the things on this list require minimal skills, or at least a desire to learn, and we'll train you. So again, just pray over those things. And if you have questions during the week, call me next week. Be ready to sign up for some stuff. Sign up for one or two. Do anybody have questions or feel good about that? I can't thank you enough for doing life together. There's something about connecting with a group and interacting with them and being willing to open your heart up to other people and give of yourself. And saying, I'm going to bring my imperfect self to an imperfect world, and I'm going to go be imperfect. I'm going to be imperfect in this moment, and I'm just going to be okay with that. There's something very freeing about being vulnerable and showing up. Like, it makes our brain better, and it creates health. There's something that's really unhealthy about keeping our toys all around us and keeping ourselves all packed up and not being involved. But trust me, there's so many ways we extend and put ourselves out. And to me, serving in a volunteer type of a situation is probably one of the most riskier things, because again, sometimes you can feel like the game operation. You're either doing the operating or somebody's operating on you. So when we ask these kind of things, like what we're talking about today, this is not something that that we're asking lightly. We know it's kind of a big deal to ask somebody to serve. And I don't take that lightly. That's why we haven't really did a lot of asking, because like, I don't want to ask it. They do stuff. I know it's not fun sometimes. Yeah. But at the same time, it is of a great benefit to us when we serve.
Yeah.
And we don't want to deny you that opportunity. I mean, honestly, I like sitting back there clicking buttons. I like, for some reason, I like that. But I know I'm not supposed to do that. I know that I need to give that up and delegate it to someone else who would enjoy it even as much or more. And so we don't want to take away those opportunities.
Yeah.
I know that there's probably some of you who have more to say on this topic than I do. So any comments? I want to hear it. For me, I'm kind of like this. I do what I can.
Yeah.
And if you see something not getting done, it's because honestly, there's no more.
Yeah.
There's no more. I can't. And so this is your opportunity, guys, to step up.
Yeah.
See, look at all this stuff. Like, if you had me leading the greeting team, and be like, hey, but there's so much here. There's so much here.
Amen.
There's so many good ideas. There's so many good ideas. So next week we're going to have the sign-up sheets that say, I will serve, lead, or both. And we need that. So yes, we'll bring it. And Becky, bring your idea next week.
Yeah.
If you guys have ideas that are not on that sheet, call me this week. We will have you a sheet out this week. So like seriously, when someone signs up to lead, and those of you who are leaders here, okay, raise your hand if you're a leader. I'm going to put you on the spot. If you are leading a ministry here, Rex is a leader. Catherine's a leader. Becky, you've led. Mike, you're leading. Anybody else? Don, you're a leader.
Autumn's
a leader.
Mm-hmm.
We are serious about supporting people who lead here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With all this in us, if you're leading something, we really, it's our heart's desire to support you and serve you.
Yeah.
And help you lead as much as we can. And that doesn't mean like stepping over and running over you, but we we put in the time as the leaders to help our leaders.
That's right.
And to help you guys do the things that are on your heart. So like, you know, so like when Cecilia and Nancy and Sue had the idea in between the three of them, I don't know who had what idea, but socks came up. I was all about that and like trying to, you know, like making announcements and trying to make things happen. So there is no silly idea. They're all good. You just bring them up and let's get them going. Let's get them going because there's so much to do. There's a whole kingdom that needs to be taken for the Lord. And these things like greeting and creating programs and those are very much just as important, even though it's an unseen thing. It's just as important as all the others. We got a directory.
Yeah.
So we'll find them. Yeah. All right. So thank you again for the time. And we'll move forward next week, okay?
We're going to close in prayer, but one thing in mind as you're praying about possibly serving or leading, just so you know, for us, for Cheryl and I, the person is always more important than what they do.
Yes.
You need to understand that. So if you commit to something, you are more important than what you're doing. And so, you know, if you have a tough day, talk to your leader. I mean, we're going to watch out for each other. This isn't sign up and work yourself until you die.
Right.
Don't feel like that. No, because you are more important than anything you'll ever do in this house or in this group. You are. Okay, so know that. We'll watch out for each other. You know, we have to do this together, but we will watch out for each other. Okay. All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Well, Lord, thank you for this time. God, thank you for, Lord, giving us new opportunities to do new stuff. God, I pray you bless, Lord, this week. God, as each one of us, Lord, seek you and pray and consider things, Lord. I pray that you would, Lord, lay on our heart what we need to do, Lord, and please also make it clear what we're not supposed to do. Lord, open and close those doors. And God, we thank you so much, Lord, for where we're at. Thank you for where we're going. And God, thank you for, Lord, all you've done all the way up to this very moment. God, you've really been good to us here. God, we love you and we thank you, Lord. We look forward to good days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.